I'm going to go back to where I started. Happy Mother's Day to the grandmas, to the great grandmas, to the aunts, to the spiritual mothers, to everyone here. I am aware that Mother's Day is not always easy for everyone. There are some this year that have said goodbye to moms, to mothers. There are some that have accepted this year that they maybe will never be a mom. And so I'm sensitive to that today, but I'm also here to celebrate the moms that are in the room. And so wherever you find yourself in that mom story, I honor you and I celebrate you and all women in that. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Erin Jamison. I have the privilege of being part of the speaking team here at Freedom. I have three wonderful children of my own that just will not stop growing on me. On Saturday, next Saturday, I will have a 10-year-old. A 10-year-old. That is double digits, man. That is crazy. Okay, I'm not sure I'm ready for this, but it's happening, so I can't stop it. Being a mom is one of the hardest things I've ever done, and I don't think I was under any illusion that it was going to be easy before I had kids, but I didn't understand how wonderfully rewarding and soul-crushingly hard it could be at the exact same time. It's both of those things all at once. And being a mom is one of those jobs that just keeps changing. Like, you figured it out, you got your sleep schedule, you've got your thing, and then they get older and it changes, and then they're six and you love them, and then they're seven and you're not sure, and it just keeps changing. And then they're teenagers and you're just waiting for them to come back to you, I think is how that goes. I'm not there yet, but I think that's how it goes. But being a parent and being a mom, it's more than just the hard and the fun. It's a calling. It's something that God has blessed on you and placed in your life. And so today I speak to mothers and to all parents and to all believers, really, but specifically mothers, about the calling that God has placed on your life as a mom. On Dedication Sundays, I didn't know we were having a dedication today. It's just so perfect how that worked out. But on this morning, we all together committed to being a part of little Camden's life and raising him and being a part of blessing his spiritual life. And so that's what we do. As a church, as mothers, we bless and we pour into the generations that are to come. And as I prepared this message, initially it was going to be on something completely different, and the Lord took it to another place, and I landed on legacy. And as parents and as Christians, as members of a church, we have the amazing opportunity, like we did this morning on little Camden's life, to be a part of a legacy of generations of faith. Leaving a legacy of faith requires resiliency. It requires you to stick with it, to never give up. Being a mother is about daily, moment by moment, choosing your faith over fear, frustration, and fatigue. Those are my three Fs when I was like, what is it? It's fear. I'm scared all the time. It's frustration because I want to hurt them. And it's fatigue because I'm tired. But it's about faith. And it's about faith through those three things. And it's about influencing your children for Christ. And there are so many ways to do that. And there are two aspects I want to focus on today. And first is about intentionally teaching your kids to serve the Lord and in being intentional in influencing your children's lives. And this comes in many ways. There are many ways to be intentional. I first thought of the holidays at Christmas. Even if you don't necessarily have a relationship with Jesus at Christmas, if you have any sort of faith, that's usually when you like bring it home. Like, that's why there's lots of people in church on Christmas and at Easter, right? It's always full because that's when you build those things in. And for those of us that have relationships with Christ, we're very intentional. We talk about Jesus at Christmas and at Easter and at Thanksgiving, and we build things and traditions into that to make sure that our kids know that we're just not following a bunny around that magically lays eggs. I don't know. It's about more than that. It's about Jesus. And you're intentional about bringing your kids to church. You involve them in a community of faith. I'm just going to list a few things here. Get ready for it. At our church here, we have Sunday school. We have Kids Connect. We have discipleship. We have commotion. We have Easter choir, Christmas choir. We have bounce coming up. We have youth programs. We have things here. And if it is your desire and intention to have your kids be part of a community of faith where they can practice their faith and grow up, we have that available to us here. And while we're here, I'm just going to say thank you. Margaret's not here because she's off doing these things, but thank you to Pastor Dell for allowing this in our church. Thank you to Pastor Tracy for being a part of it, to Margaret, to the volunteers. Thank you for being intentional and blessing our kids. Thank your volunteers today. Thank our pastors today. We are so blessed. If it is truly your desire for your kids to learn and practice their faith, they can do that here. And that's not true of every church, but it is true of our church. And it's a huge blessing. As mothers, we are purposeful in teaching our children the ways of the Lord. And I want to remind all of us today that, as I said, being a mother is a call. It's a role and it's a ministry. I listened to a podcast this week about this woman saying she was just a mom and she was going through a bank. Some of you that listen to Focus on the Family, you'll have listened to this. She was going through a bank teller and she had to update her information. And the lady said, well, what's your job? And she said, well, I'm a mom. So you're like, you're just a mom? And she had to say it 3 or 4 times. And the bank teller kept saying, she was trying to enter what her profession was in the bank. And so you're just a mom. And she kept saying, I'm just a mom. I don't know. We're never just a mom. We are called to so much more than just a mom. We are anointed and blessed and privileged to have a call on our lives. If we look at Genesis 18:19, it's a little, just a little portion of a bigger story. It's the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. It's the story of Abraham and Sarah being told that they will finally be parents after many, many years. And it's just a very small portion of that, but I'm going to read it with you. It says, for I have chosen him, and he's speaking about Abraham here, so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him. Or we can read it in the Message. I love the Message. Then God said, shall I keep back from Abraham what I'm about to do? Talking about what he's about to do to Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham is going to become a large and strong nation. All the nations of the world are going to find themselves blessed through him. Yes, I've settled on him as the one to train his children and future family to observe God's way of life. Live kindly and generously and fairly so that God can complete in Abraham what he promised him. Now, I know they're talking about a father there, but we're going to talk about a mother today. Yes, I have settled on Caitlin. I have settled on Katie. I have settled on Tracy. I have settled on Sandra. I have settled on you to train your children and the future generations to observe God's way of life. You are chosen to raise the children that God has given you to be men and women of faith. It is no accident. You were chosen. These children were given to you deliberately. In order for future generations to know the Lord, to know the hand of the Lord, they need to hear from those who have come before the goodness of God. We need to intentionally teach our kids what is right and just. The Lord had many plans for Abraham, but he mentioned specifically that his plan was for him to teach his household so that future generations would know him. Moms, I charge you to teach your household to know the Lord. I like this verse because it goes back to what I said about kind of being just a mom, because Abraham is to teach and train, but he is so much more. That's not all Abraham did. He is so much more than that. And through his faithfulness to do what God has called him to do, he is blessed. Entire generations are blessed because of Abraham's faithfulness to follow the Lord. Your worth is not tied to your child's decisions. As a mother, you are called to bless your children, you are called to teach them, you are called to train them, but who you are in Christ and your success in your Christian life is not an indicator by what your child's decisions are. I think that's important to know, because there are some women of faith who have served God faithfully, who have prayed for their children for years and years, and those children have not chosen to follow the Lord, and that is not an indication of who you are in Christ. You are called to be faithful to the call God has given you, to fulfill it to the very best of your ability, and then to leave that in God's hands to perform the blessing. A mother's teaching is so invaluable. Dads are important too. We're not talking about you today. You have your own day. Just wait, okay? You have your own day. We, as moms, and this is true of dads, but again, as moms, we have our kids in the quiet moments. We have them in the snuggles, and we have them in the hugs, and we have them before breakfast when they're all pouring cereal all over table and there's crumbs on the floor. And as they're older, I hope that doesn't happen anymore. But we have them in the car rides, driving them from activity to activity. We just seem to have our kids. As moms, you just have your kids. And it's in these moments that you have the opportunity to be intentional. And as they grow, you know, as you relate to them, it changes. You hit the teenage years and moms don't know anything. This is what I heard. I'm sure that's what I was like from my mother. But just because they think we don't know anything doesn't mean we aren't still intentionally living our life out for Christ in front of them. We have their ears, and there is so much that we need to just tell them. Just tell them. Tell them of God's goodness. We need to teach them to live kindly, generously, and fairly. You teach them to know the truth. You teach them scripture. You teach them what will ground them when things are hard in life. That's what moms do. We teach them the things that got us through. And if we don't choose to be intentional in sharing our faith with our kids, we run the risk of having generations that don't know Jesus. And in fact, we see that already as People have stopped coming to church, have stopped putting Christ first in their life. We see entire generations that don't know the Bible. They don't know scripture. They don't know truth because parents stopped coming. It used to be the thing that you got up on Sunday and you went to church, and whether you really wanted to be there or not, that was your community, so you went there. And so everyone knew something about faith, and that's not true anymore. Generations have fallen away because parents have stopped coming. And we see it right now, but scripture also left us a warning about this. Joshua 2, 6 to 10. After Joshua had dismissed the Israelites, this is after they've come into the promised land. I can just preface that. They have done all the hard things, and now they are coming into their blessing, and they should relish that and live in God's favor and faith. So after Joshua had dismissed the Israelites, they went to take possession of the land, each their own inheritance. The people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him and who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110, and they buried him in the land of his inheritance at Timnath-Heresi in the hill country of Ephraim north of Mount Gash. After the whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who neither knew the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. So let's just read verse 10 again. After that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who neither knew the Lord nor what he had done for them. So somewhere along the way, something went terribly, terribly wrong. There was an entire generation passed away and went on to be with the Lord. And now this new generation had come up and they did not know the Lord. They didn't know the amazing things that he had done for them. They weren't celebrating his goodness. And it's not even that the older generation was wiped out. You know, something terrible happened and a plague came and the entire generation was gone. And so there was no one there to instruct the next generation that was coming. No, there was a generation that failed to instill the splendor and glory and greatness of their God in those that were coming. And to me, this sounds like an epic and utter failure. I don't know if, maybe my CP1 table, I don't know. I genuinely try and give the Israelites the benefit of the doubt. Like, seriously, they're not that much worse than us. They get a really bad rap. But we are terrible people. We don't live in a time of smiting and wrath, right? We live in a time of grace and forgiveness, and you make a mistake, so God's going to forgive you. And all of our sins and mistakes are not recorded in a book that has been read over and over and over again. So I really, really try. I root for the Israelites, like, deeply. But I'm having a hard time with this one. So let's just recap for a second some of the things that the Lord had done for Israel up until this point. So there was the burning bush of Moses that was not consumed. We all know that story. There was the miracle of Aaron's rod. It was changed into a serpent, and then it came a rod again. There was the plagues of Egypt. There was the miracle of the Red Sea parting. There was the waters that were sweetened when they didn't have any water. There was manna from heaven. So no food and then food, okay? We have more water from a rock. We have fire from the Lord. We have fire consuming people. We have people slain by a plague because they spoke out against Moses. We have the Jordan River parting. So people marched around a wall, and then they made loud noises to the Lord, and then the wall fell down. Okay, so there was that. And then we have the Lord stilling the sun and the moon, and the Israelites followed a pillar of fire and a cloud through the wilderness. It just appeared and they followed it. So how did a generation not come to know and understand and reverence the Lord that did that for their forefathers? And obviously I can't say for sure, but I have a feeling about what Joshua would say if he was still around to realize this. And it would come in angry mom voice. I'm pretty sure it would be angry mom voice. What is wrong with you? I've said that to my kids. It's so terrible. I'm pretty sure you're not supposed to. Why are you doing that? Anyways, it would sound something like, did you become so comfortable that you forgot what God did to get you here? Did it not occur to you to tell your children that you are here because I did this, not because you did this? Did you forget? If it was up to you, you would be slaves in Egypt because you were too afraid to leave. And when it was hard, you begged me to take you back. And I said, no, I know better for you. Keep going. That's the God that got them where they are. And they forgot to tell people about that? How? Angry mom voice. I just don't know how that happened. The generation that didn't know God never saw these miracles firsthand. So it's not like they are ignoring them. It's that the parents and the aunts and the uncles and the community of faith didn't instill the greatness of God to them. And it makes me angry. It makes me think, how did they do that? How did they do that? And then I think, as parents and as believers today, we are part and parcel with the greatest miracle of all time, which is Jesus' death and resurrection. The fact that we get to live forever and eternity into heaven because Jesus forgave my sins for no good reason. And sometimes I think I forget to share that with my kids. I forget to live every day with that joy and purpose in my life. I am part of the greatest miracle. Miracles greater than walls falling and seas parting. Greater than that is what Jesus has done in my life. And I get to be forever in eternity with him. And am I intentionally telling my kids that on a regular basis? We need to tell our kids our testimony. I think sometimes we don't do that. We share our testimony with our own generations. And we don't ever tell our kids how we came to know faith. Our kids need to know our testimony. They need to know what God did in our life. And on an age-appropriate level, obviously. But they need to know that we were broken and then we were saved. We need to know what God did for us. They need to know. And we can speculate on how the Israelites ended up with a generation that didn't know the Lord. But part of me feels like they became complacent about teaching what the Lord had done for them. They stopped sharing the testimony. It became a story. Those things that God did were never a story. They were a testament to God's greatness. They forgot their heritage. We have a heritage of faith. Even if you are the first believer in your family, you are the first line of your heritage and faith. And you need to share that with your kids. And if you are now the first generation of believers, you are part of a large heritage. And you have every story to tell from this community, from other communities, and from the Word of God. We need to share with our kids what God has done. Never stop sharing the stories of your faith. I think sometimes we don't want to tell our kids the bad things that we did, the mistakes that we made, because we don't want to give them ideas, right? I think that's part of the problem. I don't want you to do this, and maybe you won't think of it on their own, which is not really giving them credit. They can think of way worse things on their own than what we are bound to tell them. Teach your kids about your mistakes. Tell them what you did wrong and the impact it had on your life. For example, wandering in the desert for 40 years because you didn't trust God to bring you into the promised land. You know, maybe they didn't hear that memo. I don't know. Children have to learn on their own, and they're going to make their own mistakes, and their path is going to look different than yours. But they can know the faith story of where God took you from to where you are now. I want my kids and, Lord willing, grandkids to look back on me personally and recall a woman of faith, a woman who was brave because God made her brave. I want to be that grandma that shares stories over and over and over again. And not just stories, but testimonies of the faithfulness of God in my life. I think of when I was a kid, I went with my friend to her grandma's house, Grandma T. And she told us the same stories every time we were there. She gave us Verner's and digestive cookies. So we would ride our bikes over to Grandma T's house, and we would have Verner's and digestive cookies. And she would tell us the same stories like 100 times. I could probably still recite those stories to you now. And they weren't about Jesus. They were about medals that she won and a restaurant that she owned. But I knew those stories, and before she wasn't even my grandma, but before she started, I knew which story she was going to tell today. And, you know, there was dementia and other things happening there. But I knew those stories because she told them to me over and over again. So instead of being Grandma T who's telling stories, I want to be the grandma that's telling faith and sharing testament of what God did in my life. I want my kids and my grandkids to be like, oh, she's going to tell that one again. That's right, I am. You listen, because I know. You don't make that mistake, because I know. But I also don't want them to be stories of what happened. When I am like my grandma sitting here in her 90s, I want to have a fresh story of faith, of what God is doing in my life, at whatever stage of my life that I'm in. And I want my kids and my grandkids to know that no matter where I'm at, wherever grandma is, wherever mom is, she has a new story and testament of God's greatness, because I never stopped asking for more. I think we all want to leave a legacy of faith for our kids. Psalm 145, 1-7. I'm going to read it for you. It's such a great example of telling your kids. I will praise you, my God and King. I will honor your name forever and ever. I will honor you every day and praise your name forever and ever. The Lord is great, and our praise to him should be great. He is too great for anyone to understand. Families of this time will praise your works to the families to come. They will tell about your wonderful acts, and I will think about the shining greatness of your power and about your great works. Men will speak of your powerful acts that fill us with fear, and I will tell of your greatness. Many words will come from their mouths about how good you are, and they will sing for joy about how right you are. Families of this time will praise your works to the families that are to come. What a great imagery for how we are to live as parents, as believers. I think probably another way that the Israelites ended up in this mess is that they stopped seeking God for new and fresh. They made it to the promised land. They walked into their promise, which again, as I said, they didn't get there because they were great. They got there because God was. And they probably took a breath and said, I don't have to wander in the desert anymore. I don't have to do all of those things. I can go hunt for myself and I don't have to eat that terrible bread that kept falling. I mean, the Lord's provision for me. I think they just were tired. That happens. We get tired and sometimes we just want to take a break. And I think probably they stopped sharing what God had done for them out of a passion for what God had done for them and just, we're here. It's okay. God did that. We become stagnant and we stop asking for more and fresh. They stopped saying, God, what are you going to do for me now that I'm in Israel or now that I'm in the promised land? You took me here and I experienced all those things. So what's next? They weren't looking for what was next. They were satisfied with where they had landed. We can become stagnant in our faith and we need to constantly be asking God, what's next? What's next? I want a new anointing. I want a fresh anointing. I want more of you. I want you to take me from where I am here to up here and never be satisfied. It's not enough for your kids to hear about what the Lord has done for you in your life. They need to know and experience him for themselves. It wasn't enough that the generations that came heard about what God had done. They needed to experience what God could do for themselves. There was a disconnect. As mothers, we need to encourage our kids to pray and to seek God on their own. Not because we are encouraging them to, but they need to learn what it is to pray because that's what God is prompting in their hearts to do. And we teach that and we model it and we say, okay, let's pray together now about this. But at some point, they need to then start doing it on their own. It needs to become a natural flow. I have one of my kids, she's very cute, and she comes out from school every day and tells me about the 20 things she prayed about that day. And, you know, some of them, I pray that it wouldn't rain. That's great. You got to go on your field trip and it didn't rain. That, God heard you. That's amazing. I'm going to pray it doesn't rain every day ever. Okay, well, God is sovereign and understanding, and if it never rained, then we'd have drought and famine. I'm so proud of you, honey, for praying, because it doesn't matter what she prayed about at this point. It doesn't matter that she was praying for the whatever. It matters that she thought to pray, and then that was in her heart, and it was the overflow. And that's what we need to be doing, and as parents, we need to demonstrate that. We need to teach our kids to seek God for themselves. You tell your kids the testimony of your faith, and you tell your kids about when you were filled with the Holy Spirit and what that baptism looked like and how it changed your life, so that they then want that too. Talk to your kids and share with them, on their level, all that God is doing and all that he can do. For the Israelites, it was entirely possible that the generation before served God out of obligation, and it became the thing they did instead of the thing that gave them life. And that can be true for us today. Is church something you do on Sunday, or is it the place you desire to be, to recharge for the week that's coming? When you're teaching your kids about coming to church and doing all those things, is it an obligation or a joy? And your kids know the difference. They know the difference. Is your relationship with Christ the thing that you do, or is it life itself? I'm not bragging today because I do so many things wrong as a parent. Angry mom voice comes out more than I am proud to admit. But I got my Mother's Day cards this morning. They're all laid out on the table, and they're so cute, and they're so excited to show them to you. And my one daughter, Greta, she made me this book, and it was all about moms being superheroes. And so it was like pages of her filling in the blanks. And it said, what is your mom's superpower? And she said, my mom reads her Bible. And I just was like, okay, just a minute, honey. Just gonna need a minute. And then it said, what does your mom do? And it said, my mom goes to church. I said, okay, I got that right. I got one thing right, God. My other kids didn't say those things, but she did. She's my little sensitive one that picks up on things. But it's those things that they can tell when you're doing it because you have to and when you're doing it because it's what you desperately desire to do. So what does intentionally showing your children how to live God's way look like? It looks like tiny steps taken every single day. It requires joyfully showing and telling stories about your faith over and over and over again. It's being transparent with them from day one about who you are and what Christ has done in your life. It starts with faith in your own heart And it can start fresh today if that isn't something you've been doing. Let your children see you pray and read God's word. Tell your children how you are growing and learning new things. Tell them when God's doing something great in your life. Tell them when you're struggling and you're seeking God. Enjoy getting together with other believers and being in church. Let that be a joy and let your kids see that. And pray with your kids every day. Some days it is the rote prayer before bed. But at least it was that. The second way that we leave a legacy of faith for our kids is in the unplanned moments. What are your kids absorbing when you aren't trying? I have really great parenting moments. You can ask Matt. He'll tell you. But they're the ones that I like planned out and I like wrote out a script and I sat them down. And I'm sure those are the ones that they don't get at all. But what am I demonstrating when little moments happen? Who am I giving glory to? Who am I lamenting and sorrowing over the hardships of life instead of turning to God? I remember a message that Pastor Dell spoke a long time ago when I was in high school. I don't remember the message, but I remember this thought, and he was talking about parenting and the thought of quality versus quantity. And in parenting, that doesn't always work out. The quantity that you're with your kids is more than the quality moments that you plan out here and there. It's better to be around your kids on a regular, consistent basis, living out your faith, than to plan those quality moments with them. I remember that very clearly, and I thought, I'm going to remember that someday. I'm going to do that with my own kids. I don't know if I do, but I try. Being around your kids and letting them see you in everyday situations and how you respond is important. And if the way you respond in those situations isn't how you should be in honoring God, then you need to work on that. What example are you leaving your kids when you're not trying? Those of you that have grown up in church, you're familiar with Proverbs 31, the wife of noble character. If you're not familiar with it, you should read it. It's a really great passage of scripture. This woman did it all. She was the standard to strive for, to live up to. And we can't talk about all that today because that would just be a message in and of itself. But verse 28 has always been the desire of my heart. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. I've had that second part written in my Bible, hung on my wall my whole life, I think. Now, I am under no illusion that my husband and children rise and call me blessed every morning. Listen, that is not. It's more the second verse that I'm really going to, or second part of that verse, especially when I'm nagging them. Put your shoes away, for goodness sakes. It's only five of us. Why are there 20 shoes at the front door? Anyway, okay. So my kids might not rise and call me blessed right now, but 20 years from now, 30 years from now, 40 years from now, what will my kids say about me? I'm sure when I was a teenager, I did not rise and call my mother blessed. But now I do. Now I'm grateful for who she was, what she modeled for me. Who will you be to your kids years down the road when you lived your life every day, simply living out Christ before them? Will you have let the busyness of life crush you? Because it's right there. You are only one step away as a mom, as a person, from letting the busyness of life overwhelm and sweep you away. It's just, every day for me, it's right there. It's what I choose to allow to wash over me. Proverbs 31, as I said, is a whole message, but there's a general feel for these verses. And for me, it's about a woman that was intentional with her life. And she chose not to live her life as just a thing. She chose to be intentional in the moments, in every moment. She chose to live out her faith when no one was looking. And when everyone was watching. She was a wife, she was a mother, she was a businesswoman, she was a volunteer, she was a person of influence in her community. This woman was everything. And to be honest, I don't think it is humanly possible to be a Proverbs 31 in its entirety. This is an example set up for us to strive for, but never to kill ourselves trying to achieve. She lived her life, and through her, the power of God was demonstrated as she did all the things that needed doing. This lady was busy. Seriously, read Proverbs 31. She was a busy lady doing all of the things. Right? The things. Tracy knows. Pastor Tracy knows exactly. Life and as moms, we just have the things. We have the laundry and the cleaning and the grocery getting and the shuffling our kids from here to there. And, you know, our husbands help. If we have a husband, that's great. And he helps. But as a mom, there's just an expectation that you put on yourself for all the things you have to do. And this woman, she had all the things. But I see that the example laid out for us was one full of joy. In verse 25, we see she is clothed with strength and dignity, and she can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She was busy, but she laughed at the things to come because she knew that nothing could come that God could not handle. Being a mom is hard, but we are called to live with joy. And that doesn't mean it's easy, but it means that the joy of the Lord is our strength when all the things try and take over. And I think it means that we're not defined by one thing. If we define ourselves as only a mom, God has called you to be a mom. He has called you to influence your children. He has called you. This is a blessing and a call on your life, but it is not all you are. It was not all as Proverbs 31 was. You are called to be so much more. You are called to be the fullness of who God has made you to be. The woman of Proverbs spoke wisdom and faithful instruction. Do you seek Christ for wisdom when you instruct your children? In the planned and the unplanned moments. In the planned moments, I seek wisdom like nobody's business. But in that moment, when I am at my wit's end, when I cannot take one more thing from my children, do I stop and seek the Lord? Do I speak with faithfulness and wisdom on my tongue from Him? I hope I do, because that is part of how you leave a legacy of faith for your children. I hope today that moms and parents and fellow believers, I've encouraged you. I feel like I had a lot and I could have spoken a message on every single part of these things. But the things that I want us to know most is that we are called to this. Whatever your this is, if you're a mom, if you're a dad, if you're a volunteer, whatever you find yourself in at this moment, you are called to this. And every season of life is just that. It's a season. If you are a mom with a newborn, if you're a mom with teenagers, if you're a mom with kids grown and now you're the grandma and the great-grandma, you are called to this moment. What is God asking you to do in this moment to influence those that are coming? If you're not a mom, you are still called to be part of the community of faith to influence generations that are to come. And what are you doing in that? How are you blessing and influencing those that are to come? Is it your heart's desire that we never see a complete reliving of the judges, where a generation grew up without knowing God? You are called to this. You are an influencer for Christ. I hope you have got the message that you need to be intentional. You need to think legacy. You need to think long term. Some of you in this room are planners, and some of you are not. We need to all be planners when it comes to this. This is not something that happens by accident. Legacy does not happen by accident. It happens because you are intentional. It happens because you are purposeful in it. We need to seek fresh and new anointing. What God gave us for yesterday was exactly what we needed for yesterday, and today I need what I need for today. Never become satisfied with what happened yesterday, but always seek God for new and fresh so that when you're influencing your kids, they see that you never relied on what God had done, but you are relying on what God is doing. There's a difference. Find joy in your call. In every moment. If you're that newborn, that mother with a newborn, and you are up every hour and you just want to cry all the time, ask God for joy. And that doesn't mean you're happy. It means that there is an underlying peace about you. If you are teenagers that are in your room, but it's just true, that you just are at your wit's end with and you can't take anymore, ask God for joy in those moments. I hope that you've been encouraged today, that you have been encouraged to be intentional and to think out what God is calling you to do. I'm going to pray and the worship team's going to come back. Lord, I thank you today for the opportunity to be intentional in our faith, for the opportunity to influence generations to know you. God, I pray right now for our community of faith that the children in this church would rise up and they would know you. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would fill them, that you would anoint them, and that they would know you. And God, I pray for the moms in this room, Holy Spirit, fill them fresh and new. Give them joy. God, they are tired and they are struggling, but God, bless them. Give them wisdom. Give them insight. Give them moments of knowledge, God, and let them live out their faith as an example to their children. Thank you, God, that you are with us every day. That you give us fresh every day. And I pray today, God, that we would seek you and we would know you in a new way, God, as you are using